For WKMS News, I'm Sydney Anderson. With Kentucky struggling from health issues like lung cancer and opioid addiction, the president and CEO of Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky paid a visit to the Purchase area early this week to discuss regional wellness. Matt Markgraf speaks with former Democratic Congressman Ben Chandler about tobacco, opioids, health accessibility, and politics.
I'm joined in the studio with Ben Chandler, former congressman and now president and CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. Welcome to WKMS, and what brings you to the region?
Well, it's nice to be back in Murray, Matt. I've had the opportunity to be at the station several times, and of course in Murray and Mayfield and the rest of the Purchase over the years. And in this particular case, I'm coming to speak to the Purchase Area Development District about health and about the need, among other things, to curb smoking. Now, the good news is, I don't usually get to give good news. I'm usually talking about how Kentucky's got one health problem or the other. You know, we rank first in cancer, for instance, or last, however you want to look at it. Worst. We're the worst state for cancer in the country. We've got lots and lots of other issues, health issues. But there's something for the Purchase to be proud of. The Purchase is actually lowered its smoking rate from 30% 4 years ago down to 18%, which is quite remarkable. And now fewer people smoke in the Purchase than in any other part of Kentucky.
Lung cancer, nonetheless, is still one of the leading cancers in our region. The smoke-free initiative a hard sell given that this is a dark-fired tobacco country?
It's hard sell everywhere. Kentucky is a tobacco country from one end of the state to the other. You guys are dark-fired. They're burly up in central Kentucky. Wherever you go, there's a tobacco culture. Even in Louisville, they used to manufacture cigarettes in Louisville. So tobacco has been a cultural icon in this state for really a couple of centuries. It is difficult to overcome, but we have to do it. We have to do it because the numbers that you see in terms of health damage far outweigh any kind of benefit that we're getting economically from growing the crop. On top of that, we're growing a whole lot less tobacco now than we used to. We used to have 50-some-odd thousand tobacco farms. We're down to about 4,500 and a lot fewer acreage. So the crop is not nearly as important as it used to be economically, but the damage is still significant. It's a pretty bad thing when you lead the United States of America in cancer deaths. That is not a good thing, and we need to change that. Of course, it also impacts heart disease. It impacts strokes. This region is actually quite high in deaths to heart disease and stroke. So to the extent we can curb smoking, we want to. And we're still, even here in the Purchase, we're still above the national average.
Just to back up for one moment, can you describe for those who don't know what the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky is?
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky was founded 16 years ago. It was endowed with $45 million. We've now got about $54 million. We've given away $27 million over the 16 years of its existence. And its purpose is to try to promote good health in Kentucky. We want Kentuckians to be healthier. And that's what I'm doing. I'm sort of a health ambassador. I'm running around the state trying to get people to eat better, trying to get them to exercise more, trying to get them to quit smoking, and just in essence be healthier. We want people to live longer lives, and Kentuckians, quite frankly, don't live as long as people in a lot of other states and other countries, and we want to do something about that.
There was recently a report about longevity and health and aging, and the Kentuckians, especially those out east, tend to have shorter lifespans.
Well, that's right, and that report was particularly aimed at the Appalachian part of Kentucky, eastern Kentucky, but it was really stark and frightening because not only do Kentuckians not live as long as other Americans, eastern Kentuckians don't live as long as the rest of Appalachia. So we've got to do something about it. Smoking, our smoking rate is also the highest in the nation as a state. We've got to combat that. That was actually pointed out in this study and in other studies as being one of the chief reasons for the poor health in Kentucky. And we've just got to take it on. We've got to do something about it.
Attorney General Andy Beshear has launched a project recently sending drug deactivation kits to four counties in Kentucky to combat the opioid crisis, including McCracken County here in West Kentucky. Opioids have been a scourge out east, but police in this region say they're becoming more prevalent. government. What do you do about it? How is Kentucky addressing this issue differently than other states?
We're going to have a conference on it next month, and we'll certainly be prepared to talk about it around the state after we have that conference. We're really having a hard time finding a good answer, if you want to know the truth. It's a complicated problem. It's complicated because in the 1990s, the medical establishment in this country, in the country as a whole, changed the way they treated pain. It used to be people didn't get opioids unless they were terminal. The understanding then was that they were so addictive that you just don't give them to people unless there wasn't really any danger if they were addicted. In other words, only to terminal patients. That changed in the 90s, at the behest of drug companies mainly. And as a result, opioids have been given out on a regular basis. When we restricted those drugs, which we did, about a decade later, then you had a whole bunch of people who were addicted. And particularly here in Kentucky, there were a heavy number of already addicted people. They couldn't get hold of their prescriptions, so the heroin dealers came in. And they took their place. And we have a real heroin problem now, particularly in northern Kentucky and eastern Kentucky. But and Louisville, too, has a big heroin problem. I don't think it's as bad out here in West Kentucky, but you're probably seeing more in Paducah and more in other places. It's something that we have to deal with. We had 1,400 people in Kentucky die last year of overdoses alone, which is enough to consider it a pretty full-blown crisis.
What are some trends in treatment availability and quality, for instance, like medication-assisted treatment with recovery programs?
Well, again, it's a multifaceted problem. Recovery programs are expensive. The legislature, I think, has done some things to try to make those programs more available, but there are a whole lot of people who can't afford it, which is a problem. Insurance sometimes won't pay for it, which is another problem. It's often doesn't work, which is another problem. You know, sometimes people have to go through treatment several times and for many, many months and sometimes years in order for it to take. That's how bad an addiction opioids are. They even change the brain waves. So it's a very difficult problem. I don't think medicine, law enforcement, or anybody else who's concerned, certainly the government, who's concerned about the problem, has really figured out the answer yet, to be honest with you. And I think we've got a lot of work to do to try to figure out how we tackle this very, very complicated problem.
Is Kentucky efficiently funneling federal and state money to opioid treatment programs?
Well, you know, I think we're doing the best we can under the circumstances. I'm not sure there is enough money is one of the problems. And we've got to do something about, again, this is the problem that we run into not only with opioids but with other health conditions. We tend to have a rescue system in this country, and we tend to worry about the problem after people already have the problem. The best way to deal with opioids is not to get addicted to them in the first place. Just like staying healthy is the best way to avoid needing health care. I've yet to meet a person who wants health care if they can have health. So what we do a very poor job of, not only in this state but in this country as a whole, is keeping people healthy. That's what the foundation wants to talk about more than anything. How do we avoid an opioid problem? How do we avoid being overweight? How do we avoid all the problems attendant upon smoking? If we do that, we save a whole lot of money. In this country, we spend twice as much money per capita as any other country in the world on health care. Twice as much. And yet our outcomes are number 37 in the world. Now, in no other walk of life would that be tolerated. We have got to rethink the way we spend our money, and we've got to put more of it on prevention.
Is marijuana a solution? Is it a viable solution for any health issue?
You know, I think that there are people who believe that it's helpful in terms of being used for medicinal issues of one sort or another. Most of the people that I know of in the healthcare arena view it as a gateway drug, among other things, that it often leads to the use of harder drugs. So I think there's a great deal of concern about that. And I don't think there's been any studies, good studies, done on other damage that it may cause, for instance, to the lungs. The jury's still out on a lot of that, but typically anything like that, any smoke that you bring into your lungs, generally not good.
Another big initiative of the foundation is access to health care. Navigating health care reform, it's been a challenge for many years. And now, while more Kentuckians have access to health care due to Obamacare and Connect, Governor Matt Bevin and Congressman James Comer have said that the number of people on Medicaid is too high and is too expensive for the state. How do we navigate this?
We've always believed at the foundation that the more people who have health insurance, the better. Just as a very general matter. I understand that it's expensive to provide people with Medicaid. On the other hand, it's very expensive not to. And that's the thing that's often overlooked. We end up spending, the taxpayers end up spending on the back end a whole lot more if people get sick and they go to emergency rooms. We've got laws in this state and in this country that require hospitals and other providers to take care of people whether they have insurance or not. Ultimately, it's going to come out of somebody's pocket. You're much better off if you have people insured and if they get preventive care and have a chance to stay healthy on the front end. Again, you may hear a theme here, but I think we need to do what we can to keep people healthy on the front end. That ends up saving us a lot of money as taxpayers. If you let people get sick and they get an acute problem, it's going to cost you a whole lot more, and it's going to cost the taxpayers a whole lot more. And that's what our elected leaders from all parties need to understand.
Kentucky has had a doctor shortage, and when it comes to treating Medicaid patients, do you feel that there are enough specialists like endocrinologists who will be willing to treat Medicaid patients? And then how do we make sure that those Medicaid patients are getting the services that they need?
We've always had a problem with the number of healthcare providers that we've got in Kentucky. The problem was so bad in the 1950s that it caused my own grandfather to build a medical school, the University of Kentucky Medical School, for the purpose of educating more of healthcare professionals. And despite that, we still need more. There's a voracious appetite for healthcare. Again, part of the problem is that we're so doggone unhealthy that we need more health care. So let's try to be healthier. In any event, we need to continue to turn out health professionals of all sorts, whether they be doctors, nurses. My preference, of course, rather than more specialists, my preference would be more attention to people who are helping people be healthy. Those would be family practice doctors, more of those. More people who could monitor the health of the citizens of this state on a fairly regular basis so that they live healthier lifestyles. If we did that, we'd save money and we'd need fewer specialists.
Sort of along those lines, something that Congressman James Comer has talked about in the region is the fact that Anthem is the only private health insurance provider out here, and they threaten to leave or raise premiums fairly regularly. What needs to be done to perhaps bring more options onto the market or to hold insurance providers sort of accountable?
You've got to. I mean, you're always going to have this problem if the health insurers have a monopoly. And that's what we've got. And the problem with having, frankly, the private sector be involved is they can leave most anytime they want to. One of the options is to have a government-sponsored option for people to compete with the private option. If you're only going to have one private option, it wouldn't be bad to have some kind of competition. There was a suggestion about that when the Affordable Care Act was actually being talked about. It was called the public option. Had they gone down that road, you wouldn't have this problem of no competition.
I have one question here. It's sort of obligatory for you. Do you have any ambitions to jump back into politics? Any plans for 2018, 19, or 20?
I certainly do not. I've done my time in that arena. I was state auditor. I was attorney general. I was in Congress 21 years in all, which was a pretty good little amount of time in the barrel. And I don't have any plans right now. Of course, I wish that politics wasn't as polarized as it is. I wish that the parties could get along, that they could work together, that they didn't think that the word compromise was a dirty word. I was what you would call a moderate when I was in public service, and I believed that the one of your main obligations as a public servant was to have the government work on behalf of the people who lived in the country. And to do that, you had to compromise. You didn't have gridlock. That didn't help. You compromised. You reached out to the people on the other side of the aisle, and you found common ground. And when you did that, you made the government work. And I just thought it was a way to go. We don't have any moderates anymore to speak of. We don't have too many people in the middle. And the voters, quite frankly, they kind of punished people. You know, when they, politicians, when they reached out to the other side, would end up being punished by their own party, both by the Republicans and the Democrats. So it's kind of a toxic situation now. And I don't know, frankly, I don't have any particular urge to get back in it. Now, I care deeply about what happens to the state, and I want the public to do well, and I think public service is a high calling, but it's certainly very, very difficult to be involved in it today.
That's all of my questions. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just wonderful to be in Murray, Matt. This is a wonderful university. Murray State University is one of the jewels of our public system, and we're lucky to have it. The Purchase and West Kentucky generally is served very, very well by this institution. And I just, every time I get a chance to be down in God's country in the Purchase, it puts a smile on my face.
Ben Chandler, former congressman, now president and CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.